If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're ready to begin at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. This particular section, verses 13 through 21, deals with the subject of holiness. And actually the command of God to be holy, to be people who are holy. And, you know, so often we miss the point of what holiness really is. And we'll never err in holiness if we do two things. Number one, have faith in God's ability to cleanse us and purify us. And number two, walk obediently with Him in everything. And if we will simply go that direction, folks, holiness is the natural outgrowth of that. Now, walking obediently with Him sometimes is difficult. But it's not difficult because He is overbearing. It's difficult because we are resistant. And that's where the difficulty comes. So let's begin on verse 13. Peter writes this. He says, "Therefore, gird your minds for action." I love that phrase. Gird your mind for action. That the particular image that I see is of a warrior getting himself prepared, making sure he's got all of the right equipment, that he can protect himself, but that he can also become offensive, not offensive, offensive. All right? There is a difference. But so that he can literally go into a sin-darkened world and create such a havoc against evil that people begin to see light. And that comes, folks, when we determine that we're going to gird our minds for action and do things God's way and follow His particular plan. Notice what he says here. He says, "Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Look forward to that moment when Jesus comes back. And you know, if we are anticipating that, if we are excited about that, if we are looking for that, and our minds are girded for action, we're going to be doing all that we can to make a difference in this world and reaching out. Verse 14. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance." In other words, break the patterns of sin. Those things that held you down and kept you, break those patterns. But they're so comfortable. I'm so used to being like that. Doesn't matter. If you want redemption in Christ, you must break the patterns and the habits of sin. And in the process of that, you will find true deliverance. Verse 15. "But like the one who called you, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior." Continuing with verse 16. "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, you will notice that that phrase that you are to be holy for I am holy, you will notice that that's an Old Testament quotation. And that there are several times in the Old Testament where that is used, where God is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, look, be holy. Be holy. And I want you to turn in your Old Testaments with me to the book of Leviticus, because I want us to notice three of these times in the book of Leviticus. I know a lot of people don't like to look at Leviticus because it's all that law stuff, but I want you to notice this. Leviticus chapter 11, to begin with. And I kind of like this. It's dealing with the issue of dietary laws. It means I don't have to eat bugs. And I'm always glad when I learn I don't have to eat bugs. All right? But I want you to notice this. Verse 44 says this, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. For I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth." All right? Now, I know that he is talking about dietary issues there. But I want you to notice what he tells the children of Israel their responsibility is. He says, your responsibility is to consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. And that means fully yield yourselves to God. And so that brings itself out in ceremonial holiness. All right? Consecrating yourself is a ceremonial step that you make in yielding yourself totally and completely to God. It is the same, the Old Testament word is the same that is brought out in the New Testament Greek in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where we are, where Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself to God, you know, that you consecrate yourself to God, that you sacrifice yourself to God." See, it's all tied in with the same type of thing. And the word that is mentioned here about consecrating yourselves is the same New Testament word that means total and complete submission to God in a death act of yourself and your self-will. Be holy. Consecrate yourself. Now, I want you to notice next, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." So what's he talking about here? He's talking about being relationally holy. Honor your parents. Honor them. And my Sabbaths. And I was looking at this whole concept of Sabbath holiness. And as I began to look at this, I began to realize that this dealt more with our personal relationship to God than it did with our, with our personal relationship to God than it did with the obedience to a law structure. All right? The whole law structure was developed in the Old Testament to help our relationship with God, not to enslave us. And too often we look at stuff and we say, oh, we've become slaves. And that's not in reality what God wanted. God wanted purity from us. He wanted holiness from us because He is pure and He is holy. And so He wants us then, if we are to be pure before Him, we have to be relationally pure and especially obedient to those individuals in our lives that God has placed there, our parents. Wow. So we are to be relationally holy as well. And then notice the third thing, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spirits, or spiritus, to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. In other words, we are to be obediently holy. And in that obedient holiness, that means that we will place no other gods before God. And when we get this idea that we can consult mediums, when we get this idea, you know, and this whole idea of reading a horoscope, you know, getting our palms read, having seances, all of that demonic stuff is an offense to God. And it destroys our relationship with God. Consulting with any individual who tries to draw us away from God's will and God's plan is an affront to God. So we have to be cautious in those particular areas. Now back to 1 Peter. Back to 1 Peter, verses 15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17. And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. The word fear there means conduct yourself in reverence. Reverence contains an element of fear, but not fright. We don't have to be frightened of God, but we need to reverence Him. We need to respect Him. We need to honor Him in every aspect of life. And when we show dishonor for God and for His will, for His word, we are insulting the God of all grace. And when we insult the God of grace, we find ourselves in great danger. So we need to be cautious. Look at verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You have been purchased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not cheapen that sacrifice by being disobedient to God, to His will, and to His call. God calls us out of a life of sin into a life of salvation. He calls us out of a life of selfishness into a life of self-sacrifice. He calls us away from the patterns of sinful behavior, and He places us on the road that leads to His eternal kingdom. And we're not to take dirt and to put up with dirt on that road. So it becomes important that we honor God with everything, because it was through the unblemished, spotless blood of Christ that we have been redeemed. It's not of ourselves. It's because of God's sacrifice for us. It's because of Jesus Christ Himself willing to leave heaven to come to earth to be born. And you know what? That means that we have an obligation to keep our lives pure before God. We only do that through total, uncompromising submission to God's will and to God Himself. And when we choose to walk against the teachings of God's Word, we're dirtying the sacrifice and making common the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us. Stop and think, who sacrificed Himself for you? It was God Himself. So you have an obligation, and I have an obligation, to keep ourselves pure before God. And I'll tell you, sometimes that's a difficult thing. Because we'll choose things that are the wrong things to choose. We'll choose friendships, for example, over God's way and God's will. That was the thing that was happening in the church at Corinth. They were willing to let anything take place. And you know, people chose sinful people who claimed to be believers. They chose them over God's way and God's will. Pastor, you're crazy. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 9. And I want you to pay close attention to this, because it's uncomfortable stuff, but it's stuff that we need to pay attention to. All right? Look at this. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world. In other words, I didn't at all mean sinners, those outside of the grace of God. All right, I didn't mean that. Now look at what he says. Or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you'd have to go out of the world. So I'm not talking the non-believers who are these types of individuals. But look at verse 11. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. That person who claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ and is involved in these types of behaviors, Paul says, don't have anything to do with them. But you know what we say? Well, they're my friend. Because they're my friend. I don't want to lose that friendship. Well, I'll tell you what you lose. You lose your friendship with God. Because God is very blunt in this passage. Look at verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? That's not my privilege. I'm not to judge the world and their sin. Do not judge those. He says, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. There's an immoral individual, and you can read about that immorality in chapter 5, the beginning part of it, and in chapter 4. And you will see these types of things that are taking place, and the Corinthian church is not doing anything about it. But when there's a brother within the church who involves himself in sinful behavior, put them at arm's length. Why? Is that rejecting them? No. It's an effort to bring them to a point of submission before the Lord so that they will repent of the sinful deeds that they are involving themselves in and get restored and renewed in Christ. But if we just overlook it, we're not helping them. You remember a week ago, preached on the subject, do we love the homosexual enough to warn them? Well, let me ask you this. Do we love the brothers in Christ enough to warn them? Do we love God enough to faithfully obey? Or do we step back and say, I'm going to choose my friends over God. I don't care if they are involved in immorality. I don't care if they are an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. It doesn't matter to me. It's a dangerous place for the church to come to. And folks, there's a lot of things that we can add there. Those who cause strife and division within the body of Christ. As well. Put them off. Put them off. Those who are gossips within the church. Put them off. You have to. Because that's what God says. And I know people don't like that. Well, we're judging them. Yeah, we are. We're told to. Did you catch the wording that the apostle says here? Look at it. Verse 12, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? Do you not judge them? Jesus said it this way, by their works you shall know them. By their fruit it will be evident to you. And if they're claiming to be a part of the body of Christ and yet willfully doing things that are damaging to the body, don't have any fellowship with them. You see, God's call is for a holy church. Not for a church filled with holes. But a completely yielded body. If we are, as a body of Christ, as a part of the body of Christ, if we are to accomplish God's will, we must follow God's word obediently. I know people don't like that. But you know what? It's truth. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. But if you can't, then follow the Word of God. Who's more important, your friends or your father? Back to 1 Peter. Verse 20. For he, Jesus, was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You see, Jesus was foreknown as the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. The plan of salvation was established before the world was ever formed. The way that God was going to take care of the sinfulness of man, because even in creation he knew that there would come a time when man would fail and would fall and would need to be redeemed and would need to be restored. Did God know it would happen so quickly with Adam and Eve? Yeah. Yeah, he knew it. Getting Adam and Eve to understand it was another issue. So Jesus Christ was already declared and determined to be the perfect Lamb before the world was formed. Before the stars were set in the skies, the cross was planted on Calvary. God knew that the only pure, perfect sacrifice would be Himself. And that without that sacrifice, we would be without hope. Therefore, God can demand of us holiness. And He does. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am a holy God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore. Consecrate yourselves, therefore. Folks, there isn't any doubt about it. Holiness is God's plan for our redemption. Jesus said it like this: blessed are the holy, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There isn't any other way. You either have a pure heart or you have a damned soul. Choice is yours. Let's stand.